Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the Archangel Gabriel of free speech, because what does Gabriel start with? It starts with Gab, and I have some questions about that. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. The operator's standing by. It's Monday morning, and we've got Mark Collett with us. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's good to be here. And you and I have been discussing free speech in America over the last couple of weeks, and how all of those people in America who value free speech could well be losing that free speech.
Well, I had a question. So once Andrew Anglin told me to hit him up on Gab, and I don't even know what that means. So what does that mean, and what is Gab?
Well, Gab is a sort of Twitter-style platform that was started years ago by Andrew Tauber. And Andrew Tauber is a free speech advocate, and he started this platform. It's just it's very much like Twitter, basically, but free speech. And over the last couple of days, the UK government has sent a letter to Gab demanding they submit to the UK's new censorship regime, the UK Online Safety Act, threatening them with massive fines of somewhere between 18 million euros or 10% of their annual revenue, depending on which is larger, for not policing free speech on the platform. I can read the letter to you. It says, we are contacting you. Sorry?
Yes, please do.
It says, we are contacting you from the Office of Communications, Ofcom, the UK communications regulator. Ofcom is the regulator for online safety in the UK under the UK's Online Safety Act 2023, which created a new regulatory framework with the purpose of making regulated online services safer for UK users. The Act imposes duties on a range of online service providers, including to keep people who use their service safe from illegal content. I love the word safe. These duties, you'll be so safe, you won't be allowed to hear anything the government doesn't want you to hear. That's being safe. These duties come the following types of online services users use, and it goes through a list of services, and then it says your duties under the Act. On the basis of information available to us, we consider Gab is likely to fall within the scope of the Act as a provider for a user-to-user service that is available to UK users. Certain duties under the Act are now in effect, and if you are in the scope, you are therefore required to take steps to comply with these. First, all providers of regulated services are required to carry out an illegal content risk assessment by the 16th of March 2025. This means you must assess the risks of harm on your service associated with priority offences and other illegal content. Ofcom's guidance recommends a four-step methodology for carrying out risk assessments that will help you comply with your duties. The purpose of the assessment is to ensure you understand your risks so you can put in place appropriate safety measures to mitigate identified risks. Second, all providers of regulated services are required to keep a record of their risk assessments. The Act requires you make and keep a written record in an easily understandable form of all aspects of every illegal content risk assessment, including details about how the assessment was carried out and its findings. Ofcom's guidance on record keeping and review sets out what the risk assessment record should include. Failure to comply with the Act may result in enforcement action, including financial penalties of £18 million or up to 10% of a regulated service's worldwide revenue, whichever is greater. So what they're basically saying is, if you are one of these providers, and Gab is a provider, you are now in a position where you have to ensure that you are complying with the law. And by complying with the law, that means you are willing to shut down content that the government in the UK deems illegal. Now, this means that a company like Gab, which is a First Amendment company, a company that believes in the First Amendment and believes that the First Amendment is something that should be upheld, you are in a very, very difficult position, because they're saying, well, we don't care about the First Amendment. We don't care what you think about the First Amendment or what you think about free speech. You must comply with these new laws. And that means every service provider that provides those kind of services must comply with the UK government or face being shut down.
Well, is it 1984 yet?
It certainly feels that way. And I'll say this, from my perspective, and I'm a big fan of Gab. I look at Gab as one of the few places that has consistently upheld freedom of speech. Many places have not consistently upheld freedom of speech. In fact, quite the opposite. Most places have decided to sort of give up or cuck on freedom of speech. And this, for me, is very, very important that Gab do, you know, uphold this and continue to uphold this. But what I can see is if Gab refuses to comply, and they should refuse to comply, but the worry is if they do refuse to comply, what you may well end up seeing is Gab being banned in the UK.
So what I wonder is, I mean, is this mass attack, mass cross-border attack on freedom of speech, and we know what kind of speech they've got their knickers in a bunch about. Is this sustainable, or are they just exposing themselves too much for what they really are, which is kind of Zionist occupied government, anti-white. It's a Zionist occupied government trying to replace the indigenous population or the founding populations of countries. And it's getting really, really transparent what's going on. And rather than trying to back off, they're just going harder. You know, we've got all sorts of related things going on here. You know, you could talk about the expulsion, the deportation, arrest, like really kind of shocking arrests of green card holders in the United States who, you know, didn't even necessarily partake in even demonstrations, which are completely legal. But in one case, we had a woman who wrote an op-ed or co-authored an op-ed decrying the genocide of Palestinians in her school newspaper. And next thing you know, you've got six masked men just seizing her off the street and shoving her into a van and then flying her off to some place 1,000 miles away at detention center. So, I mean, it's really shocking what's going on in all sorts of levels. And it's an attack on freedom of speech. And it's not, you know, and the thing is, like in the United States, yeah, you can still complain about the government all you want. You can complain about the American government all you want, but you can't complain about Israel. You can complain about white people all you want, but dare you not say a word about Jews. Is this sustainable? Can they keep this up? And in America, increasingly, we're getting not so much white people. We're getting a lot of black people are saying, hey, what's going on here? And the black people still have more freedom of speech. You know, it's been tested. Kanye West has tested it and got smacked down. Candace Owens has tested it, not quite as hard. But you're getting more and more of this. I don't know. I sometimes think maybe they're just going too far. What do you think?
Well, I think they are going too far. But I think what may sort of shock you is that this way won't shock you, but it does bring us on to another important topic, is that this is going further and further all over the Western world. So this isn't just something that is happening here in the UK. This isn't just something that's happening in America. This is happening all over the Western world. Now, interestingly, I had a guest on my show last night. You can check that out on Rumble. You can check it out on Odyssey. And the guest was Germar Rudolph, a German man who lives in political exile because he questioned certain historical narratives relating to the Holocaust. And you might say, well, you know, he's a very controversial character. He's on the very outside of the system, going as far as to question something like that. You can make that argument. But today, what is the biggest news all over Europe today? Well, the biggest news is Marine Le Pen has just been banned from contesting the French presidential election in 2027.
Wait a minute. Now, that is big news, being that she would certainly be the front runner, that she has been in the past two runoffs against Macron, who is extremely unpopular now. Who is this, a French court? Role of the European Commission that had such an important role in disqualifying the Romanian front runner for president?
Well, this does revolve around her status as an MEP and her work in Europe, so that's a good guess, if it was a guess, if you haven't seen it. She has basically been found guilty of embezzlement, and that means that she has been fined €84,000, which is probably a pretty piffling amount of money to somebody as wealthy as she is. But she has been sentenced to 2 years in jail and 2 years on probation. Now, the 2 years in jail, she's unlikely to spend in jail. She's likely to be put on leg tag for that. But the interesting thing is, as part of the punishment, she is barred from standing in the presidential election for the next 5 years, which would count her out of the 2027 presidential election. And as you've so correctly said, her family has got a pedigree of standing in that election and doing very well. Her father, I think her father got into the runoffs twice. She's been in the runoffs twice now as well. She would be in the next presidential election one of the two or maybe three favourites to get into the runoff again. And it's interesting what they've done her for. This embezzlement is, they claim that that her staff, for I think it was something like a 5 year period, were her. So basically, let me explain the full thing. When you're elected as an MEP, you get staffing costs, and that is an amount of money given to you to pay for staff that support you in your duty as an MEP. Now, those staff are paid for by the taxpayer, and they're meant to be what are termed researchers. So they're meant to research things for you and assist you in your duty as an MEP. So if, as an MEP, you are sitting on a council that is discussing problems with sewerage systems across Europe and how we could implement a Europe-wide standard for the processing and handling of sewage, that's a huge topic. So you may have a number of researchers that work for you, and you could say, well, look, I'm putting two of those researchers on that project to research this, to look at different standards across the European Union, so I can be well informed on how we could propose a policy that could, you know, harmonize, you know, sewage treatment across the entire block. Now, that's an example of how researchers are meant to be used. What you're barred from doing is you are barred from using researchers to do party work. So, you know, if Marine Le Pen was, let's say she's allowed three, you're not told how many staff you can have, you're given a maximum amount of money you can spend, and that means you can pay your researchers a certain amount of money. So let's just say that worked out as three full-time researchers and three part-time researchers. Those people are meant to work towards assisting you in your role as an MEP, and that can also include other things, because you also get what's called a communications budget, and the communications budget is something that you're meant to use to promote your work. So if you're you're somebody who is working in the European Union, you then get a communications budget, and the communications budget is so that you can produce leaflets, and they go out, and then they tell people in your country or in your constituency exactly you know, what you've been doing, as an MEP. So, you know, it's all got to be relevant to what you did or what you're doing as an MEP. What you can't do is you cannot accept the money from the European Union, employ staff, and then secretly use those staff to do your party work. So Marine Le Pen was, you know, allowed to use the staff to do genuine work for her as an MEP or to assist in her role as an MEP. What she couldn't do is use those staff and say, well, look, you know, we really want the, you know, the Front National, now the RN, to do well. And what we're going to do is we're going to take the money. We're going to employ 3 full-time staff and 2 part-time staff, but they are secretly going to work for the Front National and help build the party. That is something which is not allowed. Now, the issue is, they have said that that's what she did, that she employed several members of staff which were not European researchers, were not connected to her work in the European Union in any way, but were in fact effectively personal staff for her that carried out duties outside of her role as an MEP or within roles that benefited the Front National, now the RN, as an organisation rather than the, you know, the taxpayer, essentially. So she's been found guilty of this. This classes as embezzlement, and this is going to stop her standing for 5 years. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I've been to the European Parliament. I have known multiple parties that have worked within the European Parliament, and I am 100% sure that every single party that's elected to the European Parliament, their candidates employ people under the staffing budget, and those staff, they work for the MEP when they have to, but they also act as then paid activists for the parent organisation that that MEP was elected under. So, you know, if, say, the Labour Party in the UK, they get an MEP elected, I'm sure those members of staff, when they were called upon to go out and knock on doors, to canvass, to leaflet, to help in by-elections, to help at election time, they wouldn't have been sat in the European Union researching. They would have been out on the streets doing Labour Party work and electioneering. That's just what happens. It's something that all the parties do. It's something that the European Union has been known for being used as a way to sort of use money to grow political organisations. Many organisations have used European elections in order to do that because they're relatively easy to win. The BNP won 2 seats in the European Parliament, and it's how organisations grow. They stand in these PR elections, they get a couple of people elected, they then employ people, and those people basically do a little bit of research, but largely moonlight helping the party locally. It's just how it works. And equally, you know, the MEPs, when they use their communication budgets, use those communications budgets selectively to promote the organisation, so it'll do better at the next election. That is just how things work. Now, what I'm saying isn't something that is particularly controversial. It's just how all these organisations work. Now, the problem you've got here is with Marine Le Pen, they have turned around and said, well, actually, we don't think it should work this way for you. You've been doing what everyone else is doing, but we're making an example of you. And look, I've got to say this. You know, I used to remember hearing this at school. Just because everyone else was doing it doesn't mean you can do it. You know, a good defence is not saying to the teacher when you've been caught out, well, sir, I'm sorry, but everyone else did it. You know, well, if everyone else commits murder, it doesn't give you the right to commit murder. Not that this is committing murder. This is something which is quite a trivial thing, really. But it does put it into perspective that they've specifically gone after Marine Le Pen in order to punish her, and I believe to stop her standing in 2027, because this is going to damage the Front National, the RN, now it's called the RN, the National Rally, as translated into English. And not only is it going to damage the National Rally as a party, as an organisation, but it's going to sideline their most notorious, you know, likeable household name. And that will put a massive dent in that organisation's ability to win that election. And I believe that this has all been done quite carefully and with malice aforethought to ensure that they do a lot less well at the next election. But this just goes to show, doesn't it, that, and the similar things just happened in Romania, hasn't it? You know, a right-wing candidate wins in Romania. They say, right, we're going to have to do the election again. Then they ban him from standing. Look at Viktor Orban in Hungary. The European Union are saying that he can't pass the laws he wants. He has to be punished for being too friendly with Russia. And for...
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A five-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
They say, right, we're going to have to do the election again. Then they ban him from standing. Look at Viktor Orban in Hungary. The European Union are saying that he can't pass the laws he wants. He has to be punished for being too friendly with Russia and for, you know, saying that asylum seekers can't go to Hungary. All of these people who play by the rules and think that they can, you know, win democratically, eventually they face these hurdles. The hurdles of being banned, the hurdles of having their free speech curtailed, the hurdles of being held up to a set of rules that no one else is being held up to, because what we're living in is fundamentally not a democracy. So now what do you have? Well, in the UK, they're going to ban sites that allow the wrong opinions to be expressed. In France, they are banning the arguably the most popular candidate from standing in the next presidential election. In Romania, they've just reheld an entire election because the wrong guy won. This is really tyranny. But I think it does tell you something about the system that we live in. First, there isn't any free speech. And secondly, putting your faith in their version of democracy, in their system, and believing that sort of cucking and playing by their rules will get you somewhere, that's a very, very naive position to take. And I don't hate Marine Le Pen. And if she won the presidential election, I'd be pretty stoked, to be honest. I'd be over the moon if she won it. But saying that, Marine Le Pen is somebody that has cucked. You know, she threw her father under the bus. She expelled him from the party. She gave up on many of the Front National's original policies in order to, essentially please the establishment, please the media. And what has she got from all of that? Well, unfortunately, she hasn't got what she wanted. She hasn't got power. She's given up on all of the things that her father held dear, insulted her father in many ways by kicking him out of the party. And she hasn't won. In fact, for all of her groveling to the system, what has she actually got? Well, nothing, unfortunately. She's not going to be allowed to win. They're going to ensure that she won't be able to even stand at the next presidential election, which tells you something about the system that we live in. The system that we live in is not about fairness. It's not about freedom of speech. It's not about political debate. The system that we live in is a system that will do anything it can to deny, political radicals and outsiders any form of freedom of speech. And this is what you're seeing here. And it's completely undemocratic. This is not the will of the people. This is basically tyranny.
It is. It's certainly tyranny. And it used to be hard to say it was tyranny when people were everybody's living comfortable lives and you didn't have people rotting in prisons or whatnot. But, you know, we've just since you and I have been doing these weekly, I think did we start doing weekly stuff back in 2017? I think we did. And we're talking before that as well. Just in this period of time that we've been having our weekly discussions, look at everything that's happened. The January 6th people just being rounded up en masse, sending well over 1,000 to prison. And now Marco Rubio is saying he's already signed at least 300 deportation orders for people who criticized Israel. Things are happening on a massive level. You've Laura Trowler, your deputy, her husband is rotting in prison for having printed completely legal stickers saying
he's out of prison now. He's out of prison, thankfully.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
The thing with Britain is it has such a liberal prison system that it lets people out pretty early. So thankfully, in the terms of Laura and her husband is now out of prison due to the prison system. People only serve 40% of their prison sentences now in the UK. As long as if it's 5 years or under, you serve 40%.
So how long had he been in prison for? About a year?
He had been in prison for 8 months when they released him. I mean, it's still eight months too long. And look, it's still 8 months too long. And I've got to say this as well. Okay, when you say it's just 8 months, when you get out of prison in the UK, it's not that you're out of prison and you go back to your normal life. That isn't what happens. So Sam, although he is sensibly out of prison, which is true, he is out of prison. He isn't out of prison in the sense that he can just go about his normal life. He has to live in a hostel. He's not allowed to sleep over in his family house. He's not allowed to do a job. He basically just has to live in this sort of limbo whilst the establishment sort of works out what to do with him. And when I say works out what to do with him, they try to make his life as difficult as possible. They monitor his every move. He's on a leg tag. And when the full 2 years of his sentence is up, at that point, he will then be allowed to sort of, you know, go about his daily life again. But not until then. You know, the system isn't forgiving. The system isn't working to our benefit. And when they release you from jail, it's not because they're wanting to help you. Quite the opposite. In fact, you know, what they're trying to do is to still make your life as difficult as possible. But prisons are just so damn overcrowded that if they put you in a prison today, they want you out as soon as possible. And if you're not out as soon as possible, you're taking a space that could be taken by someone else. And that really is the situation you have. So Sam was released because he's obviously not a violent prisoner, but he is a political prisoner. In their eyes, that's worse. But when you've got so many violent criminals on the loose, it does make it extremely hard for a system to know what to do with them.
Yeah.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
If you're an avid reader or lover of history or both, then I invite you to purchase Blood in the Ozarks by Clint Lacy. The book delves into a controversial and often overlooked chapter of the American Civil War, specifically focusing on Union war crimes against Southern sympathizers and civilians in occupied Missouri. It centers on the massacre that took place on Christmas Day, 1863, in Ripley County, Missouri, where Union Major James Wilson's 3rd Missouri State Militia Cavalry attacked a gathering of Confederate supporters, including men, women, and children, and the elderly. Lacy aims to shed light on this event known as the Wilson Massacre by presenting a narrative that challenges the conventional historical accounts by providing evidence from local documents, eyewitnesses, newspaper articles, and military records. The book has been praised for its effort to bring forth a nuanced understanding of the brutality of the Civil War in Missouri, emphasizing the need to acknowledge all aspects of this tumultuous period. Lacy's work is commended for its thorough research and commitment to uncovering obscured truths in American history. And you can purchase it at foothillsmedia.net, foothillsmedia.net, to purchase your copy of Blood in the Ozark.
Howdy, cousins. This is RBN host Blackbird 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn, asking you to please support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voices to spread truth and relevant information, to gain a deeper understanding of the adversary, and to gain knowledge for survival against the gradual erosion of the Republic. But in order to sustain this incredible communications network, RBN needs your financial contributions. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 1-800-724-2719, or mail your donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Sam was released because he's obviously not a violent prisoner, but he is a political prisoner. In their eyes, that's worse. But when you've got so many violent criminals on the loose, it does make it extremely hard for a system to know what to do with them all.
Yeah, and you know, the point is that what we had before, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, it wasn't great, but it wasn't in our face the same way. Right now, it really is in our face. I mentioned the J6 people. You can talk about in the United States, the green card holders being deported, and you know, they over what? I mean, these are all free speech things. Sam had printed up stickers with slogans that were perfectly legal. The stickers were legal, but somehow, you know, the slogans like "It's okay to be white." It is okay to be white, isn't it? That's a legal thing to say. And yet, because a judge somehow read his mind and said that, well, his intentions were illegal, because somehow he knew what was motivating. His motivations were bad, so he could just be thrown in prison. And now you've got major political figures. I mean, Marine Le Pen, front runner for president of France, this guy who had come in first place in the first round of voting in the Romanian elections. Donald Trump. I mean, they tried multiple times to throw him in jail. He's convicted of 38 felonies, apparently. And of course, what kind of lesson did he learn from it? I don't know. It's here's the thing. We come from societies with a tradition of freedom, of tradition of valuing freedom, a tradition of freedom, free speech. I know you don't have a written constitution in England, so you don't have a First Amendment, but our ideas in the United States, our ideas of freedom came from the English tradition. And so because we have this tradition, perhaps it was the tyranny had to be masked in certain ways. Maybe it wasn't so obvious at first the way it would be in societies where they don't have that tradition. You know, when things got really bad in China or in Russia or in, you know, the Arab world with military dictatorships or whatever, because they didn't have the traditions of valuing freedom, they didn't need to mask the tyranny. Here the tyranny is masked, but it's becoming ever more tangible and really harder to conceal. And how far are we from, well, in the United States, how far are we from having U.S. citizens who have complained about Israel having the FBI knock on their door and shoot their dogs? Are we, like, if Iran is a month away from a bomb, how far are we away from having the FBI kick down our doors?
I don't know. I will say this, though, about Trump. It was, and I don't know how true this is and whether this is just sort of the media in the UK sort of making things up, but there's been quite a lot of talk about Donald Trump standing for a third term. And this talk has kind of ramped up, and he has mentioned it himself that, you know, maybe he couldn't legally stand for a third term, but, you know, somebody underneath him could stand in his place, and that once this person did stand in his place, that person could effectively, you know, make him commander in chief, et cetera, et cetera. And that Trump, you know, we could see more Trump. We could have, you know, a little bit more Donald Trump in the White House, or at least leading much of what goes on in the White House. And that's interesting because it tells you something about Trump as a person. Firstly, he probably does understand the nature of politics and that he's woken up to the nature of politics in America. Because let's be real, nobody is coming to power in America and fixing the problem. Not in 4 years anyway, probably not in 8 years. Now, to turn things around in a Western country, you would probably be now looking for a benevolent dictator. And I'm not saying that to Fed Post. I'm not saying that to be outrageous. I'm not trying to get a rise out of everyone. But what you couldn't have, even if I came to power in the UK, I would have a maximum of 5 years as prime minister. And let's say I was prime minister for 5 years. I could probably get quite a bit done in 5 years, but I'd be nowhere near finishing the job. So, okay, I could maybe get elected and be in for 10 years. But the problem is, every step of the way on that journey, I would be hamstrung. Hamstrung by the other party in Parliament voting against me and trying to hold me up. Hamstrung by those in the House of Lords who would kick everything back down to the Houses of Parliament and reject everything. I would be hamstrung by the courts, by human rights legislation, by local councils. I would then have to deal with the Scottish and Welsh assemblies, which may pass legislation similar to sanctuary state legislation that you guys have seen in America. And obviously, when you've got 11 states, more than one in five, 20% of states that have designated themselves sanctuary states, makes it very difficult on a federal level to actually impose new laws. So what I'm saying is 5 years, maybe even 10 years, wouldn't be enough to sort out the problem, because for at least the first half of any, you know, 5 to 10 year period, you would spend in the weeds sort of rooting out serious corruption and being held up by what could be referred to as sort of political booby traps that have been laid by previous establishments to ensure things can never go back to the way they were. That's just how it is. So even if the public said, right, you know, we want an emergency general election, we're overwhelmingly voting for Mark Collett, he is the new prime minister, he's got 450 seats in Parliament, so he's got a sizable majority, you would still struggle to get things done because of these political booby traps, because of the fact that most councils in Britain are not just run by the Lib Dems or the Labour Party, but they're staffed with people who think that way. Same with every educational establishment, the same with the police, the fire service, the NHS. All of this progressive, anti-white, pro-migrant, pro-multicultural garbage is not just pushed by politicians, but is pushed by layer upon layer of deep-rooted, establishment-funded, politically motivated people who have been embedded in their position so that if there ever was a populist revolution, they would hold it up and get it caught in the mire to ensure it wouldn't really get anything done and hold it up until the pendulum swings back the other way. And that's what happened in Trump's first term. The Democrats and those in the establishment held up everything Trump did, thinking as long as we can hold him up for 4 years, it'll swing back to us, and then it's business as usual. And that's the problem that we face. So Trump at least understands that you do need almost a benevolent dictator to sort things out. However, Trump is not a benevolent dictator, because the problem with Trump coming in, or, you know, his establishment coming in for, what, 8 years, 12 years, is that they suffer from some of the same problems that the Democrats suffer from. They are not for freedom of speech. They are not for freedom of expression. And fundamentally, they don't serve the interests of the American people, just like the Democrats don't. So, you know, Trump may understand what needs to be done, but he isn't really the man to do it. And whilst he will throw us the odd sort of bone and the odd sort of curveball to the system, which may please us, at the same time, he will then renege on those things and ultimately keep going back to, keep going back to his love for Israel, and, you know, keep endorsing policies that strip Americans of their rights to protest in any way against Israel's control over the American establishment. It's very interesting, but it tells you one thing. It tells you one thing. At the moment, in all Western nations, and when I say Western nations, I'm talking about Britain, France, Germany, Australia, Western nations. And I'm also talking about this flowing over into some Eastern European nations, because although many Eastern European nations are now a part of NATO or part of the EU, I still see them as old Soviet bloc nations. I see them as having different influences and a different journey in their development to that of Western nations, you know, especially post Second World War, which is obviously when the modern day sort of mythos of how the world came to be changed. Now, I think Western nations are in a position now where if you were to try to change things democratically, and when I say democratically, I'm not saying that we pick up arms or that we become sort of revolutionaries, but I'm saying when you go through the normal parliamentary route, that is not only closed off to us due to the demographic changes that have taken place, but it's also closed off to us by the fact that even if we do give up on our core beliefs, even if we do try to please our enemies, even if we do, for want of a better term, cock on everything, there will be some sting in the tail where when we start to do too well, they'll just ban us, or they'll find some stupid law to do us under, or they'll say, well, look, you know, all of these MEPs do this, and technically it's against the law, but we're turning a blind eye to 99.9% of the MEPs doing this. But we're going to laser focus on you, Marine Le Pen, because you actually do pose a threat to, or pose some sort of threat to, the current established order in France. And when you see the way that governments do this, and the way the security services do this, and the way, for want of a better term, the deep state has done this to Trump, and the deep state also exists in places like France, Britain, and Germany, it tells you one thing. The electoral game is rigged. And every time you play it, every time you go to that table and put down your money and spin that wheel, the house always wins. And you always come away demoralized, empty-handed, and basically penniless. So we as political dissidents have to find other political, lawful ways of pushing for the changes we want. And we have to start thinking outside of the established routes to power, because the established routes to power are so heavily controlled. And even if we do get to power, you end up, you know, having what happened to Trump, or having what happened to Le Pen, or you get your party co-opted to the point where it's fighting for something different than you were fighting for initially, it's a pointless game. It's a rigged game that you can't win. And that sounds depressing, and to some degree it is, but I think if dissidents don't start thinking outside of the box soon, we will end up as minorities and we'll have wasted all our money, all our energy, all our power, and all of our time trying to win in this rigged system when we could have put it, all that money and effort and time, into something better that might have at least bore some fruit.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you mentioned Trump. You said in passing his love for Israel. And of course, I don't think he actually has love for Israel. I think he's just completely transactional. He's a deal maker. And right now he thinks he's made a deal with the Jewish power structure and the pro-Zionists. I mean, that's the way I see it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's, he, I don't think he has, he, I mean, he is narcissistic, and I don't, he might have a kind of affection for America. I don't know. Frankly, I kind of doubt it. I think he's really completely narcissistic, but I don't know. But I really don't think he has a particular love for Israel, but he is, right now, I mean, he is just coming down like a ton of bricks on anybody who, and it's not him directly so much, but, you know, he's appointed these people. He leads the administration, and he's appointed people that are willing to do it. And it's also kind of shocking that you've got police or immigration agents that are willing to do this too. That they're willing to enforce, you know, this is tyranny against anybody, not who opposes the American government. This is what I want to keep emphasizing. It's who opposes Israel at a time when Israel is just behaving as abhorrently as can possibly be imagined, and you're not allowed to criticize it. That's something. Now, regarding a third term, there was the 22nd Amendment that was passed in the wake of Franklin Delano Roosevelt having had four elections, and you know, people in the United States were thinking, well, is he dictator for life? Well, he didn't live that long because he had bad health, so he died. And there was a formal term limit. And the way it's worded is if you've had two terms in office, if you've been elected twice, or if you were elected once but you had more than 2 years of somebody else's term, then you're not allowed to be elected again. And so one of the things Trump's talking about is, Trump or his people are talking about, one of the avenues is somebody else could be elected. He could be presumably elected as vice president. That if you look at the 22nd Amendment, there doesn't seem to be a prohibition on him being elected as vice president and then taking over when the president, you know, the surrogate president, resigns, and then maybe that surrogate president could be appointed as vice president. That type of thing could happen. Another, there is somebody who's trying to introduce an amendment that would seem to be designed for Trump, because it says you can run for a third term if you're not allowed to have two consecutive terms. You can have three terms as long as they're not consecutive. And of course, it's hard enough to get an amendment passed. You need two-thirds of the House, two-thirds of the Senate, three-fourths of the states to ratify it. But the one thing there is the Democrats don't have a candidate. The most popular Democrat in the country is still Barack Obama. And if it was worded as no, you can have three terms as long as they're not consecutive, then Barack Obama, that could set up a Barack Obama-Donald Trump election in a few years. And you might get enough support for an amendment that way. But the thing is, Trump was born in 1946. He's going to be 79 this year. And, you know, but the last thing I'm going to say about this is the talk about a third term for Trump. The one thing I like about the talk about a third term for Trump is that Trump's got a lot of young people in his administration who are very ambitious. And the talk about a third term for Trump could stop the infighting amongst his potential successors in 2028, which if you had a lot of infighting starting you know, so early in the Trump administration. That'd just be one more thing that would prevent anything decent from getting done. So I'm just mentioning those things. I don't know if they're.
I didn't want to butt in because I was listening to your point and I've spoken probably too much today. And I don't want to be like a mic hog. But I was going to say this. You said about Trump. Does Trump love America? And I got to say this. I think he probably does love America. And that might sound like an odd thing to say. But I think lots of people love America. The issue is, what America does Trump love? And that's the question. Like when you say to me, do you love England, Mark? Yes, I do love England. But the England I love is the England of little villages and walks in the countryside and quaint churches and a village pub and, you know, kids playing football on the village green. It's England for me is a place where, you know, a Sunday evening is the sound.
Regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Walks in the countryside and quaint churches and a village pub and, you know, kids playing football on the village green. It's England for me is a place where, you know, a Sunday evening is the sound of, you know, kids out on their bikes laughing and playing while, you know, a dozen mowers hum in the background as dad's cutting the lawn and, you know, mummy is doing the washing up because we've had Sunday dinner and the kids are going to be moaning soon because they've got to come in and have their hair washed and go to school in the morning. That is the England I love, a homogenous traditional England full of people that do things that are quintessentially English. And your American viewers might think, what the hell are you talking about? Everyone mowing the lawn on a Sunday evening at 6 p.m. after Sunday dinner. What are you guys doing, England? That's what everyone did in England. That's what they did. It's just the way it was. In the village I lived, Sunday afternoon and evening was just a hum of mowers, you know, of dads mowing the lawn.
And the sun stays up pretty late in England.
It does, it does. But what I'm saying is, another guy might say, well, I love England. And I'd say, well, no, you don't. And he'd say, yeah, I do. But I love the England of a packed, multicultural Sunday afternoon in Notting Hill, of the smell of jerk chicken being cooked in the street and reggae music blasting out from garden parties and guys driving past playing their grime music out of their cars. That's not the England I love. And I think Donald Trump does love America. It's just a very different America to the America that people of our persuasion love. And I think Trump loves the 80s America, that it's good to be greedy, it's good to be rich, here's my suit, here's my expensive car, look, we're going out for some cocktails after doing the big deal. He likes that America, and I'm sure he loves it, but it's probably not the America that resonates with your average MAGA voter. And I've got to say this, that's the big difference when you say, do you love England? Do you love America? You've got to ask, which England do you love? Which America do you love? And Donald Trump, in his heart of hearts, probably does yearn for that sort of 1980s when he was in Home Alone 2 and he was a star and he was a young up-and-comer and all the women wanted him.
Was he in Home Alone 2?
He was in Home Alone 2. He was in the lobby when Macaulay Culkin walks through the lobby and asks him a question and obviously doesn't recognise who he is. And Donald Trump's sort of a bit taken back as if he's like, how come the kid doesn't know who I am? You know, because at the time he's this big star, isn't he? Lost in New York, the film was called. Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. And obviously Donald Trump turns up in it. But yeah, that's the America Trump loves. And it's a different America to maybe what your average small town American knows. And New York life would for a long time been a lot more multicultural than small town America. And he probably accepts that multiculturalism because as a rich person, it doesn't affect you in the same way as it affects a poor person. Anyway, I'm sort of rambling a bit, but you know what I mean.
No, but we're out of time. I wonder if we
No, we're not. Let's make it a two-hour show.
can we make Trump MAGA again? I would rather say make Trump America first again, but make Trump MAGA again has a good ring to it.
Yeah, look, I would love a genuine America first candidate to be on the ballot paper, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, thank you very much for joining me again.
Not a problem, Patrick. It's been a very entertaining show, and thank you for having me on.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National People Radio.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? it installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC. Somersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle